Thank you. Fire and sugar. I'm in. Okay. I hope you're doing well this evening. Thank you for being here. I can't believe we only have 1 week left in Bible study for this semester. I know it's been a rich semester for me and my huddle group, and our time has been great together, so I hope the same for you. And I just got really loud. Okay. Got some pictures up here for you. What word comes to mind when you see those pictures? Freedom, okay. Birds, well done, birds, yes. Soaring, okay.
Flying.
Oh, hunting. Ooh, I'm gonna leave that one alone. Freedom, okay. Freedom. Oh, sorry, that's a movie. Anything else? Majestic. Ooh, I like that one. Okay. Our word, somebody did actually get it, is soaring. Okay? I think that bottom right picture is the best one for the soaring with the eagle with those wings just straight out, effortless, right? Just soaring. So you may know this, you may not know this. I am a science teacher, and I teach biology and physics, which is a really weird combination. But soaring is like the perfect integration of those two. So we've got some images here of just the things that allow a bird to soar. They've got hollow bones. There's this whole lift and drag, which that itself will preach. But there's all these things about a bird that make it perfect to soar. Okay, and I could spend an entire time teaching you how birds soar, but I will spare you the pain of that lesson. What we're going to talk about tonight is that hearts fully surrendered to God soar. Now, some of you walked in this room tonight looking more like this. Okay? Can anybody be like, yep, that's me, okay? You're either crazy with busyness of mommying or working or both. Maybe you've got a going through a rough patch with your marriage or boyfriend, fiance. Maybe you are just overworked. You're holding multiple jobs. You are trying to keep things running in your household. Like, life is crazy. Your health is bad, whatever. And you're like, I do not feel like I am soaring. And thankfully, SOAR is an acronym. So you have to give me a little bit of leeway on this acronym because I only needed three letters, but I needed a full word. So go with it on the and, okay? So SOAR, we are going to talk about standing for good. We stand for good. And we see this in 1 Samuel 11. By Saul, nonetheless. Really? Yes. Okay. Second one is obey and serve faithfully, which we see in, I said 2 Samuel, didn't I? 1 Samuel 12. And R, rejoice in the Lord, which we saw in Psalm 16 with David. And so we have these three men we're going to look at, areas in their life where they soared, and they were great examples for us. I will say that you may walk in that harried picture we just saw and feel like I am not soaring, and you see these words on your like, I'm not doing those either. And just so you know, we cannot do this in our own power. You cannot soar. You cannot stand for good. You cannot obey and serve faithfully, and you cannot rejoice in the Lord without the empowerment of God, which is what we see in 1 Samuel 11 with Saul. So let's open your copy of scriptures, if you have one, to 1 Samuel 11. And in 1 Samuel 11, we look at the Israelites, the people of Jabesh-Gilead, who are subject, if you will, to Nahash and the Ammonites. And they're like, hey, let us just serve you. And they're like, okay, we'll let you serve you if we can cut out one of your eyes. And they're like, let us think. And so they go around, they send this message around, and Saul hears. And in verse 6, it says, "And the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled." The Spirit of God rushed upon him. Remember, Old Testament, the Spirit indwelling is a temporary thing, not a permanent thing, like for those of us that know him as Lord and Savior. So if you look at what is going on with Saul, he's like, wait, this is not right. This is not what's supposed to be happening. This is wrong. So he stands for good. He's like, nope, we're going to go out. We are going to fight this. We are going to keep these people from losing their eye, which is a wonderful thing. He's going to keep these people alive. And he wanted to do good. Now, good. What is good? Good is rooted in God. Good is what God enables us to do. It is rooted in his character, which is good. Ours is, we tend to go more towards the evil side, if you will, with our flesh nature, but the good is from God. And so Saul stands up for good when he's empowered by the Spirit to do so. So we can stand for good as well, because we're empowered by the Spirit, if you know him. Then he gave, which is crazy to me, because isn't it easy to villainize Saul? Like, we think Saul, and we're like, oh man, he was bad. He wanted to kill David. David was really cool, and he wanted to kill David. And this, oh, was that a spoiler alert? I'm sorry. So we villainize Saul, but actually Saul's doing something really well here. And another thing he does really well, who does he give credit to? God. He gives credit to God. And we see that in the next verse up there, verse 13. But Paul said, no man shall be put to death. So the Israelites wanted to kill some guys that said bad things about Saul. And Saul's like, no, nobody's going to die, for today the Lord has worked salvation in Israel. He gave credit where credit was due. You know that was the Spirit empowering Saul, because Saul was all about himself. But Saul stood up for good. So a heart surrendered to God is actively supporting those around them in truth and love. Actively. You are looking for ways to be good to others. You're looking for ways to be good to others. You know the feel-good stories? I literally Googled, like, feel-good stories, and I got pages and pages and pages, because we all love it. Whether it's the officer that shows up for a call somewhere, and he does something amazing for these people. He mowed these people's yard. Like, oh, that's great. We all love to go, oh, right? I mean, it's just a good feeling. We've got the kids raising money for different things, whether it's a Ukraine or cancer or whatever. We've got, I had to put a soccer one in there, come on. If you don't know me, that's my sport of choice. But the feel-good stories is standing for good. Right? Those are good things. That's what makes our heart tick and get a little mushy. As I've gotten older in my life, I've found that actually those make me, like, tear up. I'm like, who are you? What's the last thing you did to stand for good? Maybe it was today. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was 2016. But what's the last thing you did to stand for good? Are you known for stepping up and helping others? Like if somebody's, oh man, I need help with this. Oh, I'm going to Susie. Are you known for that? When do you put others' needs before yourself? Sorry, that got real, didn't it? So we always have this opportunity to do good, and we just have to choose to do good. So we've seen Saul. Saul did something good. Remember it, because it won't last. And now we're going to look at Samuel. So look at chapter 12. Samuel served faithfully. He obeyed God throughout his life. I mean, he got a little head start. Like, as a little boy, he's living in the temple, so he's kind of got, you know, easy road. Not easy road, but he's got it right there in front of him. And he continued that throughout his entire life. How many of us were raised in the church and at some point in time kind of wandered and then came back, right? That's kind of a normal path, and he didn't. And so he went to his people, and he's like, hey, let me know. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Tell me. I want to repay it. I want to ask forgiveness. I want to make it right. He goes to his people, and his people are like, no, you haven't done anything. Like it's good. You haven't cheated us. You haven't There's nothing there. He says that when he had just like gone with them and said, I didn't do anything wrong with y'all. Okay, let me remind you of some things then. And he goes from history, from Moses all the way through the judges, and he tells this history to remind them of what has happened in their life that is good from God. There's all these reminders to them. And verse 14 says, if you fear the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord, it will be well. That's a tough one, isn't it? Because that's not a promise to us. This is an Old Testament statement. There was a lot of if you, then I statements in the Old Testament. Jesus made a new covenant. And so it doesn't mean, this is not prosperity gospel. That does not mean that everything in your life is going to go smooth and easy. Ultimately, will it go well? Yes, because I'm going to be in heaven someday, and there's nothing better than that. So ultimately, it will go well for me. But this is not a promise. Don't hang your hat on, oh, well, I'm obeying. It's going to go well. Don't do that. That's not what this is saying. But it is a good reminder that it's up to us. It's also over those who reign over us, which holds special meaning after Tuesday elections. One thing you might notice, and it kind of caught me off guard, and I wasn't really a fan of it until I figured it out, is when he's going through the judges' statement, he doesn't mention Deborah, does he? For all of those that did the judges' study. He mentions Barak. I'm like, really? You mentioned the dude and not the woman. Why is that? Well, there is a reason, and I had to be like, all right, God, I get it. He was mentioning the person who led the army, and technically Barak did lead the army, okay? So, if you were offended as I was, we shouldn't be. So, next, Samuel prayed for rain and thunder in the midst of the harvest. Just like, well, isn't rain good for crops? Yes, during the growing period, but not during the harvest time. Harvest is the dry time. So there shouldn't be rain, and there shouldn't be thunder and lightning and those types of things. And so this is out of ordinary. This would scare the people. Not only that, it'd be bad for the crops. It actually reduces your yield. The more rain you get around harvest time makes your yield of your crop worse. So the people would have been scared for their crop. They would have been scared because they're seeing the power of God. And what does it have them do? What does it cause them to do? They actually recognize their sin. So they're reminded of all the amazing things, and then they're seeing God's power, and they remember their sin. And Samuel says to them, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. How good are you at remembering all the things that God has done for you? Does that just roll off your tongue when you're talking to people about all the good things God has done? And then the people ask Samuel to pray for them, which he does. A heart surrendered to God remembers what he has done and responds with obedience and service. Remembers and responds. That's our calling. So let's review what we've learned this semester. Week one, Sarah taught us, reminded us, showed us, fill in the blank, our view of God infiltrates every aspect of our lives. You can flip back later in your book and you'll see it. Second week, there's only room for one ruler of your life. That's what Emily taught us. Callie said, God is speaking. Am I listening? Antoinette told us, God is always true to his character. Casey told us, what you treasure holds your heart. Sweet Judy said, God wants to be king of our hearts. And Emily last week said that God is always at work. When you're reminded of things like this, does it make a difference? Do you have a response to that? God calls us to respond to that. And the response that we see here is obedience and service. which is what we're called to do. Obedience and service. It's not a check the box, okay? We are obedient because it is an overflow of our heart. Our desires are lining up with God's desires, and thus our desire is to obey. Jesus obeyed. Jesus served. Jesus stood for good because his Father told him to. Well, his Father, our Father, tells us to. And we have that opportunity. How do you daily remind yourself of God's goodness? Daily. What's your time in the Word look like? Daily. What's your time in prayer look like? Daily. We daily need that reminder. Do those reminders spur you on to obey and serve him? I know if I don't start the day in the Word, the day just doesn't go right, of my own doing. And what sin, just like the Israelites did, what sin do you need to lay at his feet and obey his will over yours? So our S stand for good. O, obey and serve faithfully. A, and R, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. In Psalm 16, if you want to flip there in your copy of Scripture, we see David. He gives us a great example of rejoicing in the Lord. So these are several things, the blessings and the responses to those blessings that we see specifically in Psalm 16. From the blessing side, and they don't necessarily line up perfectly, but protection, it's a great thing. Refuge, he's the Lord of our life. Nothing besides him. There's nothing besides him that we need or want. He is our portion and our cup. He's our provision. He holds my future, and he reveals the path of life. He sets boundary lines in pleasant places. I unfortunately like to do this to those boundary lines. He doesn't abandon us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is our beautiful inheritance, and he has eternal pleasures for us. How do we respond to that? We bless the Lord even when troubled. We follow his guidance. We stand firm. It said, not be shaken. We're glad. We rejoice, we rest securely, and we have abundant joy. Those are responses. Those aren't feelings, those are responses. So you might say, well, I really don't feel joyful right now. Neither do I, to be honest. I'm in a kind of a weird spot in my life. I've never been to this level where I am. I am struggling with loneliness. It's so real and tangible to me, and yet at the same time, I know that God is enough. And so it's such a weird juxtaposition for me. And you know when you're in that spot, whatever your spot of choice is, you're in that spot, everything kind of rubs. You got that knuckle that cracks during the winter, and every time you move your finger, it just gets irritated again, right? So you walk into church, for example, you walk into church on Sunday, and it's all about marriage. You turn on the Christmas cookie challenge on TV because you can, and it's fun to watch, and it's the spouse edition. Not kidding, that was the last 4 days, okay? But there's something that's going to rub that wrong, and that's where I find myself right now. And I have to fight on a daily basis to be reminded of God's goodness. I have to be in his word daily, being reminded that he is enough. That when I feel alone, I'm not. Feelings can lead me astray. I have to be connected to his people. Because if I'm not, I'll go the wrong way. And I have to be connected with him in prayer. So that I can respond these ways. Because it's not in me, in my flesh, to do those things. It's not. So a heart surrendered to God rejoices and rests secure in him. A heart surrendered to God rejoices and rests secure in Him. Didn't say they feel happy and great all the time. But you can still rejoice and rest in Him. Resting in Him is kind of the opposite of fear of man, isn't it? Which we like to run to. But if we look at that picture that we had earlier with the eagles nicely soaring, guess what? They soar like this too. They soar in the storm. You know what? Actually, it's easier because there's more lift because of but it is a situation where the storm makes you more dependent on God. And with the lift you get from God, it's actually easier to soar because of the dependence. So how do you soar in a storm? How do you stay grounded in God's word? Who's there for you? Who do you connect with? Who do you pray with? And these things aren't in your own effort. It is a choice. I have to choose to do those every day. And even in the storm, I can soar in God's power. So in what ways is God your delight? It's a good thing to think about. In what ways is God your delight? Do you recognize the beautiful inheritance? By the way, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have that beautiful inheritance. Jesus came and died and rose again so that we might be with God. We might be God's son, daughter or son that is living for Him, that is empowered by Him to do good and to obey and to serve and to rejoice. If you don't know Him, those blessings aren't yours to grasp. I would beg you to talk to somebody that does know Him. Your small group leader, somebody else in your group, one of the huddle leaders, one of the leaders, somebody that you might have that relationship that keeps you going. Because if I didn't have Christ, I would have nothing. He keeps me going. So, just a little side note, none of our examples were perfect. Samuel's not perfect, Saul's not perfect, David's not perfect. None of them are perfect. Jesus is our only perfect example of all of these things. He stood for good. He obeyed His Father. He serves others. He rejoiced. Like only Jesus is the perfect example. So let's look at the perfect example. Be in your word, ladies. Study God's word and see how Jesus could do all these things. Hanging on a cross, getting beaten and whipped, and yet He still rejoiced. So God calls us to have a fully surrendered heart, and that fully surrendered heart soars. He calls us to remember. Remember, Samuel told all those things. He calls us to remember. He calls us to respond. And He calls us to represent. So remember, through His word, His people, through prayer, through His Spirit in you. Respond by standing firm, by obeying, by serving, by rejoicing. And represent. Live in such a way that others see that you are remembering and responding. Make sure that you're living out your life in such a way that when somebody looks at you, they see somebody that is reflecting Christ to them. So how do you need to change? What do you need to do differently so that when somebody looks at you, they're like, oh yeah, there's something different about her. But I have to remind you, we can't do any of this on our own. We must have God. There's a verse in Isaiah 40:13. I had to go to the New Living Translation just so I could get the word soar in here, but I did it. Okay? But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. they will walk and not faint. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you are soaring high on wings like eagles. I don't know if you feel the strength you have or if you're feeling weak. I don't know if you're running. I don't know if you're walking. I don't know if you came in here with scraped knees crawling across the floor just trying to get here. I don't know. But I do know that through God's power, we can soar. Let me pray. Father God, I pray for your empowerment for each of the women in this room, Father, as we don't feel strong, we don't feel like we can soar. We can, and it's in your strength. Father, I pray that for any woman who doesn't know you, that she would know you, that she might know this new strength. And Father, as we look at how we can stand for good, obey and serve and rejoice, help it to be out of the overflow of our heart, not out of a check the box or something we feel we have to do or we should do, Father, but out of a deep desire in our heart through your Spirit to do those things. And may you get all the glory. Father, I pray for small group tonight that they would go well, that you would be present, that you would be glorified, and that your truth would reign throughout that room. May we know your character more, may we know your Son more, and may we depend on you more and more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great night.